If you have a copy of the Word of God, I invite you to turn with me once again, the Gospel of Mark. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1. As we are embarking upon a new study in this Gospel that was written by this young man, John Mark. If you found your place, Mark chapter 1. Let's stand tonight in honor and reverence for the reading of the Word of God. And I want to read a couple of verses here tonight, and we'll expound on this thought, like manner. I'm glad we have a high priest, amen, that walked this earth in like manner as we do, yet he was without sin. I'm thankful for Jesus and all the things that he has done for us, is doing and is going to do, like manner. The Bible says here in Mark chapter 1, verse number 12, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him." And you may be seated tonight. As I was striving to see what God would share with us in the preaching hour tonight, and as how he would lead me, I could not get past these couple of verses. I felt like the last time we looked in this gospel, it might have just been the Holy Spirit of God. He might have told me I might have been a little too long-winded. Might have grabbed too much text. You know, sometimes we grab a whole lot of Bible and grab a whole lot of text. We forget to look in between the lines to see what God might have to say unto us. We sometimes get in a hurry and just rumble through some things. And I didn't want to do that tonight. I felt like God would just have us to deal with these couple of verses. And as He's laid a couple of thoughts upon my heart here that we find in these truths, we find, first of all, I believe in verse number 12, as we think about Jesus and Him being our high priest, and how that He is in like manner unto us, I see here a sovereign compulsion. A sovereign compulsion. The Bible says here in verse number 12, "And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness." We find that God didn't waste much time after that He allowed His precious Son, His only begotten, the one that's unique, only made in one likeness, the Lord Jesus. I'm glad to say my Savior is made like I am. He is man. But I'm telling you what, tonight He's different than we are because He's all of God. Amen? Hey, He's without sin. He's without fault. He's without failure. There's no spot. There's no blemish in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But yet we find that Jesus, after that He had received that anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, as God had recognized Him there in that water baptism, we read there in verse number 9, look back with me, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We find that God sanctioned him. We find that God publicly recognized that this is my precious Son. This is my beloved Son, who He says I am well pleased in. And we find that the Holy Spirit, that heavenly dove, came down and lit down upon the Lord Jesus. We find that it wasn't long after that, as the Bible says, immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. We find that Spirit that fell upon him there in the River Jordan was the same Spirit that drove him unto the wilderness. And it says that it happened immediately. Now, immediately means straightway or forthwith. I don't believe there's much time lapsed from the time in which that he was publicly recognized as being the Son of God until that the Spirit of God, that same Spirit, drove him into the wilderness. We find that it was a sovereign compulsion. And I'm here to tell you what tonight, I believe my God is an in-control God. And there's a lot of people think about luck. There's a lot of people think about chance. I'm here to tell you what, tonight I wasn't saved by luck. I wasn't saved by chance. I was saved because the Holy God sought me out. And He fought me tooth and nail. And He allowed me to realize that Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, had went to Calvary over 2,000 years ago to pay my sin debt there upon the cross. And I believe that God is a God that's in control of that. I believe that God is a God that calls. I believe that God's a God that woos. I believe God's a God that convicts. I believe He draws sinners unto repentance. And my friend, I'll tell you, whenever I got saved, whenever I got God, I got all of God. Amen. I didn't get part or halfway. I got all of God. And my friend, what God's doing right now, He's trying to get all of me. And He's trying to get all of you. And my friend, sometimes there's a sovereign compulsion that takes place in our life. What is that sovereign compulsion? Well, I believe in the life of Jesus, it might have been a little bit different than you and I, because we find that Jesus, that darling Son of God, who had never faltered, never failed, amen, He did not until the time that this took place, and He did not falter or fail God. After that He went to the wilderness, we find that our God is a God without sin. So we can't necessarily say that it's 100% like us, because I want to remind us tonight, we're all sinners, amen? The Bible says we've all sinned, we've all come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so we need to remind ourselves tonight that we might not fit exactly in like manner as to who that Jesus is, but I'll tell you what, Jesus tried to identify Himself as the Son of Man. He tried to identify Himself as a servant of the Most High God. And you know what a true servant does? You know what a true servant, a true minister of a holy God does? They lead by example. And my friend, we find that Jesus, here in this text, led by example. Now the Bible says, and immediately, straightway, straight forth, the Bible says there that this immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. That same Spirit, that precious Holy Ghost, that third person of the triune Godhead. He's co-equal. He's co-eternal. He coexists alongside of God the Father and God the Son. And we find that God working in and through the person of the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. That word driveth is an interesting word. It means to send out. It means to cause one to depart. It means to compel, listen, to compel one to depart, to lead one away with a force which he cannot resist. We find that the Spirit of God drove Jesus into the wilderness. We find the Spirit of God compelled him to depart that place in which he was and to go to where that God wanted him to be. My friend, has God ever done that for you in your life? Has God ever spoke to you in a still small voice and told you that you needed to go somewhere, that you needed to get your life somewhere, and that you needed to get your family somewhere? Hey, has God ever spoke to you? It might not have been through a still small voice. It might have been through a loud preacher. It might have been through a faithful deacon. It might have been through a dear sister saint in the church that lived her life before you, and you fell under such Holy Ghost conviction that you realized your life wasn't walking in obedience to what God would have you to walk. And all of a sudden, God began to lead you in a direction that He wanted you to go. Now we find here the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God, through a sovereign compulsion, drove Jesus not into a pleasant place. Hey, I don't believe it was padded. I don't believe that it was cushy. I don't believe it's air conditioned. I don't believe it's a place in which we would a lot of times want to go. But you know what? It ain't about what we want to do. It's about what God wants to do in and through us. And by God's grace and by God's will and by God's mercy, He'll lead us sometimes into places that we don't necessarily understand. You see, Jesus was just coming on the scene. Jesus was just getting ready to allow Himself to be made known to be the Savior of the world. But we find, first of all, God had to do a work through His life by sending Him into the wilderness. Now that wilderness, I want to remind you, is a solitary place. That wilderness, I want to remind you, it's a desolate place. That wilderness that we see here is an uninhabited place. Hey, it's a lonely place. And we find that many believe that Jesus here was led into this place for 40 days and 40 nights, as it's described in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 4, as well as the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. We find that God might be trying to show us a picture here of how that those Israelite children, God allowed them to wander 40 years in the wilderness because they were not walking in obedience unto their Heavenly Father. Now, we know that Jesus does not 100% extent typify that because we know Jesus always walked in obedience. So He doesn't typify the nation of Israel. But I'll tell you what, I believe that as one writer made reference to it, I believe it's Kenneth Weiss, he made reference to the fact that I believe what God was wanting to do was He was wanting to say, hey, just as Joshua in that time of wilderness travel, just as Caleb in that time of wilderness travel, the rest of the Hebrew nation faltered. Hey, the rest of the Hebrew nation lost faith. Hey, they lost their focus. But you had Moses, and you had Caleb, and you had Joshua, which is the one that was going to lead them out of the wilderness into the promised land. They kept their faith. And my friend, God wants you to realize, He wants you and I to realize tonight that even in times of sovereign composure, when God takes us into a desolate place, when we wind up in a place that we cannot comprehend and we don't understand what God's doing, what God ultimately wants to do is that we might prove ourselves to be faithful in the family of God. Hey, God don't want us to falter. God don't want us to fail. Sometimes God has to take us to a place in which that we need to realize, hey, everything I've got, everything I am, everything that I am going to be is by God's sovereign grace. And we find that sometimes it'll take us to a lonely place. Now, we find the Bible tells us over in the book of Matthew that it was such a solitary place that Jesus fasted for 40 days. And for 40 nights, we find, hey, it was an uninhabited place. He couldn't go anywhere and pick him up a little bite to eat. He probably had some water along the way. We find that Jesus identified Himself here and allowed us to realize that He had feelings like you and I feel. He suffered like you and I suffer. He was unhungered. He might have been athirst. We find He was in a solitary place. But yet He did not lose faith and He did not lose focus. So we see, first of all, a sovereign compulsion. But secondly, I want you to think about this thought. In like manner of Him, we see a special calamity. A special calamity. God done a work through Jesus that was specially for Him. God done a work through Jesus that had a special meaning for Him, that through His life we could learn something. Amen? Hey, that's what coming to church is about. It's about learning something. Hey, that's what walking in the Christian faith is all about, is that we might learn something. What we have fellowship with one another for is that we might learn something. Hey, you've been through a trial or a test. You've went through something in your life that can help somebody else along the way. And therefore, you need to share that. Hey, I believe that's why we all stand up and testify. Amen? Hey, testify to what God's done and where He brought us from and where He's taken us to. Amen? We find here that He had a special calamity. The Bible says there in verse 13, and He was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan. We find that He was there in that desolate place for 40 days, and the Bible says that He was tempted. Now, it was a calamity. To be tempted means to be tried or to be tested. What God is ultimately doing through that time of calamity is that He's wanting to prove you faithful. Hey, it is to try or to test one's faith. It's to try or to test one's virtue. It's to try or to test one's character. You say, what type of a wilderness might that be, preacher? I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know where you're at 100%. I can see where you're at tonight. You're here in God's house. I'm thankful for that. But my friend, we identify ourselves all as having different backgrounds. We all are in a different point in our life. We're all in a different walk along the journey of the way to home, to be in heaven one day. We find that along that way that we're going to face trial. We're going to face temptation. Hey, there's going to be testing that's going to take place in our life. And whether it be through an economic struggle, whether it be through some type of a dealing in which that God's working in our life through a loved one or through a death or through a sickness, we find that God's ultimately wanting to test our virtue and to test our character to see if we're going to be faithful unto Him. Hey, the Bible says there, it says that He came and He tempted. That tempting is that sometimes to try to test one's faith or virtue or character, sometimes by enticement to sin. Now we find that the devil himself, old Lucifer, was there in that wilderness tempting Jesus. The Bible says here in verse 13, it says, and He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. That word Satan speaks of our adversary. I want to remind you tonight, we have a great adversary. Hey, if you say, I ain't got no adversary, preacher, don't know what you're talking about. Hey, you need to check your salvation. Hey, you need to ask yourself, have you ever truly been born again? Because the devil ain't bothering you. My friend, that means that you ain't bothering him. My friend, if you're saved and born again, hey, you're washed in the blood. Hey, if you're living for Jesus, hey, you're going to be a sore spot in the side of the devil himself. Hey, that devil means slanderer. Hey, that devil means accuser. Hey, he's only our adversary. Hey, but he's wanting to accuse us. He's wanting to ridicule us. My friend, we need to remind ourselves who we are. Hey, we've got an enemy, and his name's the Satan himself, the devil, Lucifer. And we need to remind ourselves that he's alive and that he's real. Hey, Jesus was tempted there by the devil himself. The Bible tells us over in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 4, it says there in verse number 3, it says, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Hey, Jesus was hungry. Jesus was a hunger. Jesus had nothing to eat 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil said, hey, if you're Son of God, like you say you are, won't you command them stones right there to be made bread? And the Bible says there, but he, being Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what he did? Whenever the devil started throwing those fiery darts, whenever the devil started slinging those arrows at him to try to ridicule him and trick him and deceive him and beguile him, what did Jesus do? He returned unto Satan the Word of God. My friend, that's exactly why I've been preaching through Psalm number 119 on Sunday mornings here for some time. And I will continue until we get done, because it's those letters for living that we find in the Word of God that's going to help us to fight the battle that we're in every day, every day. Jesus used the Word of God. The Bible says there in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. My friend, we need to walk humbly. Amen. Need to walk circumspectly before a holy God. The Bible says, carrying on there, it says there in verse number 8, it says again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, and him thou shalt worship, the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You see, once the devil learned that Jesus wasn't going to falter, he wasn't going to fail, he wasn't going to back up, he wasn't going to balk, my friend, he was going to keep his eyes upon God. My friend, the devil said, I better just move on and find me somebody else to pick on. My friend, that's exactly what we need to do. Need to stand firm upon the Word of God, not letting the devil have his will and his way in our life, in our home, in our family. Stand upon the Word, stand up to Him, and just tell Him that you're going to serve Jesus. As for me and my house, amen, we'll serve the Lord. The Bible says right here, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. So we find here that Jesus fought with the Word of God. Same account's given in Luke chapter 4. The Bible tells us over in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 18, Bible says there, let's back up to verse 17. It says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18 says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means help. Well, I'll tell you what, you know why Jesus went and he suffered in that wilderness 40 days and 40 nights? It's so that whenever you're walking through the trial and you're going through the test and your virtue's being tried and your character's being tried and your faith's being tested, hey, you can look upon God and say, hey, I'm going to call upon my high priest. Hey, I know he's been there. I know he knows what I'm going through. And my friend, praise his holy name. He's there to help us. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us there, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The Bible tells us over in chapter number 4, book of Hebrews, chapter number 4 and verse number 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." My friend, he was in the wilderness. He was there. The Bible tells us here that he was with the wild beast. Now that might be the jackal and the hyena and the lion. It might be Tom at work. It might be Susie in the office. It metaphorically could be to describe, hey, some wicked, evil people who the devil has overcome. Hey, I believe in possession. Amen. I believe the devil, just as in the days and the times of the Bible, as he overwhelmed people and overcome them and inhabited them, I believe there are some folks who are just inhabited by the devil himself. And my friend, they might be in your neighborhood. They might be in your job. I don't know what that God is testing you with or with whom. But my friend, He's wanting to see if you're faithful. My friend, Jesus was faithful. The Bible says there in verse 16 of Hebrews 4, He says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen. I'm glad that He is made in like manner as we are. Hey, He's been there. Hey, you say, "Preacher, you don't know what you're going." Well, I'm going through. No, I don't. But Jesus does. He can help you. Hey, we find here, the Bible tells us and teaches us here, we find and look in like manner. We see a sovereign compulsion. We see a special calamity. But we also see a serving compassion. Hey, I'm glad that God will meet our need. Amen. God's wanting to help us whenever we have a hard go. Bible says there in verse number 13, it says, "And the angels ministered unto him." That angel speaks about a messenger of God. It speaks of one who is sent to meet the need of another. Hey, I'll tell you what, you might feel like you're in a desolate place. You feel like you're in isolation. Hey, you feel like you're in a solitary place. Hey, there's nobody around. Hey, the world you're living in and walking in today is uninhabited. But my friend, I'm here to tell you what, that when we feel like we're all alone and nobody's around, nobody cares, hey, we can call upon God and He'll come and He'll help. And He'll send a messenger along the way. Hey, it might be through the eyes of a child that God might speak word unto you. Hey, it might be through a loud preacher that God might speak a word unto you. Hey, it might just be through the presence of a Holy Ghost that God will send comfort and assurance unto your heart. But I'm here to tell you, He wants to serve you with compassion. That word compassion means to suffer with. Jesus wants to suffer with you and serve you in your time of need. The Bible says there in verse number 13, it says, "And the angels ministered unto him." That word "ministered" means to be a servant. They attended unto him. They waited upon him. My friend, God wants to do the same for you tonight. I don't know where you're at or what's going on in your life 100%, but God wants to meet your need. The Bible tells us over there in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse number 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful." Amen? Hey, I don't know what you're going through, but God doesn't. He's faithful. "Hey, there hath no temptation taken you, but as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Amen. Hey, praise His holy name for His serving us with compassion. And God wants to meet your need tonight. What's your need? What's your need? Only you know, but you got to take it to Him. Amen. The Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us come therefore unto the throne of grace boldly." Will you come to Him tonight? Will you bring your burden and lay it down at His nail-scarred feet? Will you take what God has granted you with and realize and recognize that everything that's going on in your life is for a purpose and for a reason? And that's to make you more like Him. Hey, praise His holy name. He came and made Himself like us. And therefore, in return, He wants us to make ourselves like Him. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight.